The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the moment. This is the point today when we arrive at the event that all the stories that we've heard and read over the last few months have been leading up to. Back in September, when we began a new cycle of the lectionary, we heard the story from Genesis of how when Adam and Eve took their first breaths, experiencing life for the first time, God was there, walking alongside them, teaching them, guiding them, loving them, through their triumphs and their falls. Later on, we heard of how when Abraham and Sarah had lost hope of ever having a child, God was there, with the promise that not only would they have a child, but they would have descendants that would outnumber the stars in the sky, and a legacy that would be even greater still. And when those descendants found themselves enslaved in a foreign land, we heard of how God was there, speaking out of a burning bush to Moses, calling him to lead his people to freedom and a promised land. We heard of how after their escape from Egypt, God was there, making a promise, a covenant, providing for their needs as they wandered for years in the wilderness, leading them through fire and cloud. And when that promised land became a land of sour grapes, as the tribes of Israel turned away, rising up in war against each other, we heard of how God was there, speaking words of promise through the prophets Hosea and Isaiah. And in the darkest moment of Judah's history, when the walls of Jerusalem fell, the temple itself was destroyed, and the people found themselves exiled to an unfamiliar land far from home, God was there too, with a message of hope from the lips of Jeremiah, that the days were surely coming when they would follow a new son of David, a new king, a new Messiah who would rule in righteousness. Through all of the difficulties, the doubts, the fears, the pains, the losses, those moments when the people of Israel felt the most alone, lost, and isolated, God was there with them. And now a new chapter is beginning. And now, not even a new chapter, a new idea altogether, a new way of being with Emmanuel, God with us, born in a manger. A new covenant that was to be, in the words of our text from John, the life that is light for all people. The true light, the evangelist writes, was coming into the world. And so the Gospel of John begins, recalling themes of the first verses of Genesis, in the beginning God created, with, in the beginning was the Word. The Word made flesh, the Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word that was God. The concept of the very heart of God, all of God's love for creation and desire for relationship with that creation, was coming into the world as flesh and blood. God was there. This idea of the incarnation, of God as human being, is often one of the aspects of Christianity that people tend to wonder about the most. Why is it important? Why do we talk so much about it? Why did God feel the need to do things in that way? Specifically, what's the significance of this Word made flesh? One of the best answers to those questions that I've come across lies in a story that's attributed to the author, C.S. Lewis. In the story, Lewis tells of how when he was young, the concepts and ideas he heard about in Christian belief seemed absolutely crazy to him. He very much doubted that there was a God at all, and if there was indeed a God, certainly there was no way that we as humans could come to know this God. He made the comment that for us to claim to know God is as ridiculous as the characters in a book claiming that they know the author. It simply can't be done. The Creator and the created are on two different levels of existence, and the gap between them cannot be bridged. To imagine otherwise, he said, is idle foolishness. Later in life, after Lewis had become a Christian, he was asked if he had somehow changed his mind, if he now thought that it was possible for the created to know their Creator. He thought about it for a while and then responded that no, I was right back then. It's not possible. The characters in a book can't know the author. They exist in different worlds, and they have no power to move beyond the reality that their Creator has put them in. However, he said, it is possible for the author of the book to write himself into the story as one of the characters, and through that character, relationship can be founded. The reasons why the birth of Jesus, this incarnation, is such a pivotal, significant event, the reasons why God chose to do it this way specifically, are etched in the stories that we've heard leading up to this point. We have a Creator who deeply loves, who desires to know and to be known, a Creator who, to use C.S. Lewis's analogy, has written himself into our story. The Word has become flesh and lives among us. We often speak of the Bible as the Word of God, but Martin Luther is quick to point out the Bible holds the Word of God, much as the manger held the Christ child. It is this child, Jesus, who is the true Word of God. It is through his life, his living among us, that we encounter God. It is through this human life that God, our Creator, our author, is made known to us. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. A world that all too often is filled with brokenness, grief, loneliness, and pain, both in the stories of ancient Israel and in our own stories. The significance of the Incarnation is that in the midst of our deepest darknesses, our own destroyed temples and wildernesses of isolation, whatever they may be, God is here. God is here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it.